Okay, I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, and it's on page 859 on the Bibles in the chairs in front of you. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
My name is Sam Koh. I'm from Sarang Church, which means love, church of love. That means I'm full of love. It is a privilege to be able to stand before you tonight. And what a blessing to have someone from China tonight. And there are two kinds of churches in China, as you, maybe all of you know, that there's a church called House Church, an underground church, where there are more than 100 million people belonging to that church. And there's another kind of church called self-church, which is government-sponsored church. And they have more than 30 or 40 million Christians. So, in a nutshell, China could be the largest Christian country in the world. Let me tell you, let me challenge you, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are interested in going out for God, I want you to know that China is the future. Without exaggeration, China is the future. Well, like Anne, I'm homeless in a way. That I used to say I'm a Korean by race. Since I was born back in 1950. Oh, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have said how old I am. Back in 1950-something, I'm a Korean by race. Then I came to, went to Canada when I was 17 and became a Canadian citizen, that I am a Canadian by choice. Then I was carrying out ministry in many different churches in America, in USA. So I used to say, I am an American by place. Korean by race, Canadian by choice, and Canadian by choice, American by place. But I mean, it's good to be a Korean, it's good to be a Canadian, it's good to be a Welsh, or wherever you came from China. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, what is really important for you and I to remember is that all of you, you and I, are Christians by grace. Amen to that? Christians by grace. What is grace? Grace is something that we receive abundant blessings when we don't have any right to receive. That is what grace is. You and I are nobody. But God saved us by sending Jesus and having to die on the cross. So we have been recipients of all these blessings. And that is the reason that you and I are able to come to this place tonight. You know, we are saved by His grace. Some of you may be wondering who I am and why a Korean guy as the speaker on this Mission Sunday. And I'm still wondering why as well. I think among many potential reasons, I believe it is because I'm just like you, facing many difficulties and hardships and obstacles as a pastor in the 21st century. In my ministry, and even in my home, there are tons of problems that we are going to celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary next week. You know, there's a saying that goes like this. Before you got married, you are attracted to each other. But after you got married, you attack each other, isn't it? You know, a lot of problems here and there. Yet, holding firm to the promise and living hope that my Lord Jesus will build His church. and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I have been privileged to be called to his service. You know, the world you and I live in is filled with problems, isn't it true? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of good news lately? Not much to me. You know, here are some examples of the news that made headline this past 6 months. North Korea. You know, Korea is divided, has been divided into two nations. Do you know that? You know, ever since 1945, 60-some years. And we used to have our fellow with Germany, but they have been reunited. So Korea is the only nation in the world out of 200-some nations that has been divided more than 60 years. So the other part of Korea, North Korea, in addition to 3 million people who already died out of starvation since 1995, they have nothing to eat. Could face again severe food shortages this spring because of poor harvest last fall. You know, what about some of those European countries called pigs? I don't know who came up with that name. Pigs, you know the country, what those four countries stand for. Pigs, including the nation of Greece, they are in mess. That, unfortunately, is just tip of the iceberg. I didn't tell you that we are sinking lower and lower on the educational ladder. I didn't speak of the upturn in all kinds of violent crime. I didn't mention the fact that most churches' membership is declining. And because of that, when I see you guys coming up here at 6:30, in the evening, I get so excited. Oh, am I in Wales? Thank God. Thank God. You know what? Throughout the history of the Old Testament, God's been working out the group called the remnants, the remaining ones. And I believe the members at this church, Highfield Church, are like remnants in the Old Testament. And I know for sure that I'm going to pray that God is going to use you to revitalize, to evangelize this land of Wales. You know, church's membership is declining. Well, I could literally stand here for hours reading you many other miserable stories from around the globe that paints a terrible social upheaval and moral decay. The sad part of all this is the fact that we read these headlines and ponder the news that is happening in our world. And when we think of our own problems and burdens, we tend to get caught up in it to the point of losing heart. Sometimes we are guilty of allowing the world around us to steal the glorious living hope that God has placed within our hearts. We are in a trouble. We are in a trouble. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, that should not be. Even in the midst of all these problems, because you and I have Christ in our hearts, because we have the living hope with us, that should not be. Why? Because we have a living hope. And let's go to the text. In the first verse of our text, Peter addresses his letter to the stranger scattered. You know, when he was writing this letter, he was writing to Jewish Christians who have been forced to leave his homeland because of their faith and because of their action. And because of that, they are being subjected to persecutions and sufferings that you and I cannot even begin to imagine. So Peter is writing to them against the backdrops of pain and suffering to fight a good fight of faith. However, If the scripture says that we are strangers scattered, thank God we are chosen by God the Father. Through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit that comes through sprinkling by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what? There is one thing that I have learned and over again. And that is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So ladies and gentlemen, this is my prayer that when the word of God is being spoken to you tonight, I'm asking Holy Spirit to come and penetrate into your hearts. You know, when I got up this morning, I found myself singing this song all of a sudden. I mean, I made it up in my shower. And the song goes like this. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. You know, you can sing it in many different ways, that in the evening when I speak, in the evening when I listen, in the evening when I speak, give me Jesus. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You know, how many times have we fallen ill because, that become over exhausted and emotionally drained because we have tried by our own power, by our own possession. You know, when all along, if we had been simply and quietly guided by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, would He have completed the work without us losing hair? And you know, these days I've been losing a lot of hair, that I came up with a hairstyle called David Beckham hairstyle. So it doesn't show much. You know, there's a saying that goes like this. If you are bold in front, you are a lover. If you are bold in the back, you are a thinker. But if you are bold, you know, front and back, not quite like Peter, you think you are a lover. Well, having said this, from verses 1 and 2, Peter goes on to say in verse 3, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So during the course of our lives, if you have ever been a stranger, felt scattered, sensed our very foundation has been destroyed, and wondered if you could ever find a voice to sing God's praises. If hope has been hard for you, then listen to how the resurrection is the foundation of hope. My fellow workers in Christ, we have a hope. I think that's what mission is all about. Notice, first, that while hope usually refers to an expectation about the future, this promise is for a living hope, meaning it is a present hope, or at least a hope that which affects the present. Or to think about it another way, the hope we have is alive and having an influence and making an impact in our present everyday lives. And speaking of hope, I think hope is like a fuel put in your tank after you have run out of gas. It's a bad story, isn't it? The car may look really good and have a good, great engine with all the system working fine, but it may as well dead until you take the bright red plastic container, you know, place the nozzle in the intake pipe and tip it up. And then gas flows in the tank. And when you go to start it again, you say, your engine comes alive. Our church may look good today, and our church systems and theology may seem to be in place, you know, most of them anyway. But we may be dead if we have no hope. Yes, you and I must remember that proclaiming the Lord's resurrection as our living hope is to live our present lives by experiencing His resurrection power. So friends, the world may be in turmoil today, but those who are saved possess a hope. This is out of this world. You know, that alone is enough to, shout about. But you know what, Peter, it's not finished. This hope also points to the future in verse 4. You know, when as we believers speak of our hope in heaven, we are not talking about pie in the sky. All of a sudden I feel hungry. We are not talking about pie in the sky. We are talking about a sure thing. We are referring to something that is settled by the inerrant, infallible Word of God, you know, which can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you and I. The New Testament idea of hope is different from our idea of hope. You know, one may ask us, will Wales rugby team? I mean, I had a lunch with Peter yesterday, and he said he's going to pray really hard yesterday afternoon, because if Wales rugby team loses, no one's going to show up to the church. So, they have another challenge. Will Wales rugby team, they're going to play against Italy and France. Are they going to be able to have Grand Slam? To which you may reply, I don't know. I hope so. You see? Human idea of hope is only a wish for some future thing of which we have good reason, but not absolute certainty of it coming to pass. But this is not what the New Testament means by hope. Hope is not just a wish. Instead, in the New Testament, hope is knowledge of what will be, which flows out of what has been done. Hope is rooted in Christ, looking to future, thus affecting how we live today. Let me give you an example from the country I came from. You know, for the past several thousand years, Koreans never lived abroad outside of the tiny Korean peninsula. That's how the map of Korea looks like. It's such a small country, even smaller than, you know, Wales, I think. And it was only until about 150 years ago, after the gospel first time came to Korea by the Western missionaries such as Robert Germain Thomas, a 26-year-old missionary from Wales. And then the nation of Korea began to go abroad. Not only that, 100 years ago, on June 17th of 1910, a faithful and a devoted American missionary to Korea named Dr. Samuel Moffett spoke before the gathered crowd at the 1910 Edinburgh World Missionary Conference. And he shared his story about a hopeless and tragic nation, a spiritually wasted land that was called Korea. Korea was indeed hopeless and helpless, with most of their resources stripped away, being sandwiched between influential and powerful neighboring nations such as China and Russia and Japan. So Korea was at the brink of losing its national sovereignty to Japan, and indeed in 1910, Korea officially lost sovereignty to Japan. However, when Dr. Samuel Moffat introduced this unknown country to all the missionaries gathered in Edinburgh 100 years ago, after witnessing Pyongyang Great Revival in 1907, which was influenced by the Great Revival here in Wales, he, with the living hope, this is a very important word, he, with a living hope, foresaw into God's future vision for this seemingly weak, hopeless nation and how Korea will one day become an influential nation for the world mission in the future. I quote, "Korea bids fair to become the first of the now non-Christian nations to be an evangelized land." You know, he was talking about this 100 years ago. And he goes on to say, "We do not expect Korea to become a great military or commercial nation like our neighbors, Japan or China. But may it not become a Christian people, a spiritual power, perhaps the great spiritual power of the Far East, profoundly affecting in a spiritual way the great nations of China, Japan, and even Russia." You see, the legacy of Dr. Moffat and many laborers of Christ who sacrificed their lives to see spiritual life in Korea continues to bear fruits even nowadays. And I'm here to tell you that now there are more than 7.5 million Korean diasporas. By the way, the meaning of diaspora is people, you know, who are living outside of their homeland, diaspora. There are 7.5 Korean diasporas living over all over the world in over 180 countries, which makes the single most diversely spread out ethnic group in the world today. And Korean diaspora are on the verge of being mobilized for the mission effort in all directions. Though Korea had faced decades of trials in the grips of power struggles of Japan, China, Russia, and even America, God has been faithful, and He's been established spiritual strength in the Korean believers. See, once a hopeless and helpless nation a century ago, now by the special grace of God, sending out 22,000 missionaries globally to 173 countries for the cause of the gospel. Why? Not because we are better than any other nation, not because we have done something right. Only because in the midst of that desperate situation, we are crying out to God, "Have mercy on us. Please use us." We are keeping on having that living hope. I think having living hope is the root, is the foundation of mission. Sarang Church, where I serve in Seoul, Korea, which began 33 years ago with 9 members, recently has taken on a $210 million building project, not only because of our very limited space, but also because of the living hope that God would use this church to be an international global pillar, to be a blessing to other nations. That's why we are going to name the building Sarang Global Ministry Center. We want to serve other nations. We want to be a channel of blessing to other nations. And it was obvious that this was not just one man's desire, but as one body, 45,000 regular Sunday service attending members gathered together and welcomed the challenges and vision from God. And one of our first mission projects globally is to pay the spiritual debt we owe to the community called Wales, the home of Welsh revival, the home of Robert Germain Thomas, who came to Korea in 1866 at the age of 26. With the Bibles in his hands while being beheaded by ignorant Korean officials who would not accept any foreign people to preach. And while he was being beheaded, he was shouting out. He knew how to say Jesus in Korean. She was shouting out, Yaso! Yaso! Sprinkling his precious blood on the Korean soil. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Korean church is where she is because of his sacrifice and obedience to the gospel. So, God has given us this mission project at the place called West, which stands for Wales Evangelical School of Theology. There was a lady, she's a CEO of a big company, very devoted Christian, who was traveling through the regions of Wales about 4 years ago. And she was able to see that many churches are crumbling down and many schools are closing down. In fact, West is the only remaining seminary out of six or seven evangelical schools they used to have. And she had such a heavy burden in his heart. I'd call it, she had a holy burden in her heart. And carrying the holy burden to our church. And she is one of our members. And she came back to our senior pastor, Dr. O. And she shared what she saw from Wales. Pastor O, they have done so much for us. It is about time for us to pay our spiritual debt to the community of Wales. And God has blessed me so much financially for the past 10 years or so. I want to do something for this community. Will you please join with me? To which our senior pastor said, okay, I'm going to do it. So we began to have a talk with this school called West. And during the course of this talks, I was brought in. And I began to have a talk with the people in UK. And it took me 2 years. I thought I was dying. I thought, wow, English people, I don't know, or maybe people from Wales, they are very detail-oriented. I must have exchanged more than 700 emails back and forth to really make sure that everything is in place. Anyway, by God's grace. By God's grace, we were able to sign so-called partnership agreement last February. Praise God. So I thought, my job as a coordinator is over. I want to get out of it. I think I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of, you know, talking and exchanging more than 700 emails. You know, I don't like that. I'm an action-oriented person, as you can see. I've lost a lot of hair. So I told people, my job is done. My job is done. I'm out of here. But they said, hey, Sam, if you are not in it, we are not going to go for it. So, you know, they've been keep insisting for me to get involved. And more I think about it, more I pray about it, you know, I kind of feel, had a sense of leading me into this ministry. But I didn't want to do that. So one morning, I pray to God. God, I don't feel like doing it. That sounds very familiar to you, coming from your children, right? Dad, I don't feel like doing it. So I'd say the same thing to God. I don't feel like going to Wales, even though it is a beautiful country. To which God answered me back with two questions. The first question is, how old are you? I said, I'm 50-something. The second question is, what are you? To which I answered, I'm a pastor. And after that, God told me in my heart, this is exactly what he said, shut up and go. So here I am, even though I'm living in Korea. I came with my people this evening to let you know that we are here to serve you. We are not trying to make that school a Korean seminary. It's too far anyway. We want to train godly men and women so that after getting training, they may serve villages after villages and church after church here in Wales, the home of the great revival, so that once again we may be able to see God's almighty working things happening here in this land. And I cannot do it on my own. I live too far away, even though I come to Wales, you know, 4 or 5 times a year. I cannot do it. The job is yours. I need your help. I want to work together with you. We are in this battle together. We are not on a cruise ship at all. In fact, ministry is not a cruise ship. It is a battleship. You know what, Peter? I brought a very special gift from Korea that I want to give that away to you. Can I have it? Can I have it? Wow, it's a treasure.
It's not a battleship, is it?
Huh? Look at this gold. It's a ship. Gold, but it's not real gold. It is gold plated. But it costs some money, Papa. A few hundred years ago, when Japan was invading Korea, there's a Korean general called Lee Sun-sin. Okay? You know, Korea was such a small country that when Japan invaded Korea, I mean, we got nothing left but 12 ships. This is first medal, you know, battleship. And under his leadership, he was able to defeat 135 Japanese, you know, Navy ships. I think it symbolizes our ministry working together, he says, to Pastor Peter Baker, Highfields Church. Question. Is the church a cruise ship or a battleship? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us battle together for the churches in Wales. Let us battle together for the churches in Wales. And we are here to serve you and do whatever we can to be a little help. But the ones who are going to be actively involved in this ministry is you. And we want to be your ministry partner. And anyway, that goes to you. In Dublin, Ireland, there was a guy named D.L. Moody. One day he heard a preacher preaching. And the line goes like this. We are yet to see what God is going to do through a man who is wholly consecrated to him. We are yet to see what God is going to do through by a man or a woman who is wholly consecrated to him. I think this is the challenge that God is giving you tonight. We are yet to see. You see, as soon as D.L. Moody heard that sermon, this is what he said. Well, thank God. Our preacher didn't say, we are yet to see by a educated, by a special man. Just a mere man and woman who is wholly consecrated to him. You know what? When you and I commit our lives to him tonight. Yes, Lord, here I am. Please send me. I may not have good educational background. I may not have any position, prestige, power. But my real purpose is to serve God. And I'm committed to that. Please send me and use me in whatever way. Then you'll be amazed how God is going to use you. We are yet to see. God is going to you and I for the churches in Wales. God is going to use, keep using this church, Highfield Church, so that we once again may be able to see God's mighty working in this land. May God bless you all. Amen.